It's good to be back in church again this evening. And let me mention one more time how appreciative I am of being here and being asked to speak here in these youth services. As you can tell, my sister's always told me that I'm a 90-year-old man trapped in a 22-year-old's body. And so I, whenever, you know, they want me to preach youth services or youth rides or what have you, I kind of get intimidated more by young people. I really do. I do better preaching some of you older folks. I've been around old folks and dead folks my whole life. But, so I hope I've made some kind of sense to some of these younger people in the services the past couple nights. And I love everybody here, and I appreciate church here at Bible Holiness. I sure do appreciate y'all letting me come. And if I've done any damage, Brother Gabbard gets to clean it up after I'm gone. And so we'll go from there. Let's go to the book of 1 Chronicles this evening. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I want to talk on kind of, now this is an odd subject to talk about, especially in a fellowship meeting or especially in a youth service, what I'm going to talk about this evening. But I think that it has a great principle here. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, the book of Chronicles, the first four chapters, so-and-so begets so-and-so, and so-and-so begets so-and-so. And if you want to sleep real good at night, you might want to read those first couple chapters. And there's something happens here, though, in the fourth chapter that is quite remarkable. You go through all these so-and-sos begat so-and-sos. And then in the ninth verse of the fourth chapter, it says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." This fellow Jabez has only got two verses in all of God's Bible. But one thing I like about it, in just those short few words that Jabez prays to God, God grants him that request. And I think, and this is what I'm going to preach from tonight, in verse number 9. Jabez was more honorable. Was more honorable. The root word there is honor. That comes along with the same synonym, same thing as the word honest. I'm going to preach tonight on Jabez was honest. Jabez was honest. You may be seated. Jabez was honest. I think that there's a subject that we don't hear preached enough on much nowadays. This is a day of a lot of shouting and a lot of running, and I'm for every bit of that, and I pray we do some of it again this evening. But I think that God still demands you and me to be honest. Honest. It doesn't hurt to tell the truth. It really doesn't. I really think that God's people are honest people. They pay their bills when they come due. They pay their tithes, their 10% to God every time that they make a few dollars. For every dollar they make, rather, they're going to pay tithes on it. God's people are to be honest people, to be honest in business, to be honest in dealing with your fellow man, to be honest in the truthfulness of your word. The words that you say, are you an honest man? Are you an honest woman? Are you an honest young person? Diogenes of Sidon in the days of the Greek culture, he used to go about through the village. And in the middle of the day, while the sun was shining, he had a lantern beside of him, and he would walk around to different people, shining that lantern up beside of their face, and would ask them the question, are you an honest man? Are you an honest man? Are you an honest man? You know, folks nowadays will tell lies right in daylight. People nowadays will bold-faced lie to you right in the house of God. You know what hinders us from having a breakthrough like we need? You know what hinders us from having the real revival that we need so desperately? Is that we ain't honest with one another. And that's because we ain't honest with ourselves and with God. It's quiet. Now the truth. Sometimes I guess you could say the truth is better left unsaid. Let me give you a few examples of this. Back up in my part of the country, up around southern Ohio, and I live on the Kentucky side of the river. That'd be the good side of the river. And up there was a church there some years ago. It's no longer in existence, and you can probably tell why after this story. But they was in a meeting one night, and a fellow was up testifying. There was a woman named Amy that had just come to church there and had gotten saved. Her father attended that church, and she had a child that was crying or what have you. Had to take the child out while this man was up testifying. So this man is over on this side of the church testifying, and is really one of them folks that just really likes to straighten people out. I guess every church has got a few of those in them. And so he's up there straightening everybody out and what have you. And this girl gets up to take the baby out. While she was walking out the door, this man that is testifying calls her by name and says, "You need to sit back down and listen to what I'm saying. You need to sit down right now." Well, and just kind of made a big to-do about it, you know. And really in a bad spirit. And so this girl's father was sitting over where she was sitting at. And he said, "You don't talk to my daughter that way." And he says, "Well, I'm just telling the truth. She needs to sit there and listen to what I have to say. I'm telling the truth." This man on this side of the church, "Well, if we're telling the truth, then your wife's fat." Sometimes the truth is better left unsaid. Honest. 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 I think the truth doesn't need to be exaggerated either. You don't need to stretch things out. You go some places and a lot of big organized bodies of groups and denominational churches are great for this. You get an arena that seats maybe 12 or 15,000 and they miraculously have 40 to 50,000 in there. I wish I had them guys with me to count some of my offerings when I get back to the car every night. You don't need to exaggerate the truth. Tell the truth. The truth, the Bible said, Jesus said, "The truth shall set you free." Years ago, my Uncle Gene had went to pray for a man that had suffered a stroke. And him and another brother had went into the hospital in Middletown, Ohio. And they walked in there to pray for this man that had just suffered a stroke. Now, they walked into the hospital and this man could not talk. He was severely injured by this stroke. And so they go in there, they lay hands on this man, and God worked a miracle. God healed that man in that hospital room, and he got up that next day and went back home. Now, that was what happened, and that's a great miracle. That's a wonderful thing. But when this man later on was reciting his testimony to the church, it went something along the lines of he was laying there in the hospital room one night when all of a sudden the window swung open and an angel walked in and began to speak words to him and touch him. And he got up healed, when that wasn't the truth at all. You don't need to exaggerate the truth, but just be honest. Just be honest. The Bible says here that Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers. He was more honest than everybody else. Back in Kentucky, we call them all Lars. They're just a liar. Jabez grew up around a group of people that was not honest. His brothers weren't honest. Here he is born. His name means sorrowful. But he, even born in such a predicament as he was in, was honorable. You know what that tells me? And I appreciated the good testimonies of these brothers tonight. But Brother Sean was up here talking about coming out of an atheist background. That tells me that you can be honorable and you can live for God. You can have the truth of God even amongst a family full of liars. Honorable. Jabez was more honorable than all of his brethren. Perhaps you heard the story of Andres Thomas. Andres Thomas in the year 2000, whenever Russia began to release their political prisoners, he was taken captive at 20 years of age. Over 55 years pass, and now Andres is 75 years old in the year 2000. When Russia began to release these political prisoners, Andres was one of them that they was going to just take before a firing squad and kill him. They couldn't understand what this man was saying. He was speaking something they could not understand, and they thought he was crazy. They had nearly driven him mad. A psychiatrist from down the hall heard what these people were about to do to Andres, and he understood what Andres was saying. He said, "Before you execute that man, bring him to me." They brought Andres to this doctor, and he examined him and said, "You folks have nearly driven him mad." He was locked up in solitary confinement for 55 years. Can you imagine being locked up for that period of time? 55 years. He said, "Don't execute him. Give him to me and we'll release him. He's not crazy, but you have nearly driven him there." When they was wheeling him out of that mental institution, the first thing that Andres asked for was, if you ain't heard the story, the first thing he asked for was a mirror. He had not seen himself in over 55 years. When they brought him that mirror and he looked into it, he did not see the youthfulness in the countenance of a 20-year young man. But rather, he seen the aged, old, 75-year-old man that time had become of him. And he wept uncontrollably for 10 solid hours. Can I preach to us this evening and tell us that if you cheat the man in the mirror, you can't stand the person that you look at every morning. If you cheat him, you've cheated your entire life. How many people come to church? How many people do we know on a daily basis that they cannot stand the person they have become? They're a liar. They're a deceiver. They're a cheater. They're a trickster. They look at themselves in the mirror and they hate the person in the mirror that they see. And that brings over into hating everybody else. Jabez was no doubt born with sorrow. Some things that happen to us aren't our fault. It ain't Andres' fault that he was locked up in prison for 55 years. There's some things that happen to us that aren't our fault. But what do you do when the fight ain't fair? I tell you what you do. You square your shoulders back like Jabez did and say, "I realize I was born in a family full of sorrows, but I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest with myself, honest with God. I'm going to be a man for God." You know when revival starts in a church? Is when we start being honest with ourselves. When you start being honest with yourself and realize, "I need help. I need help from God. I need help from heaven." the character of Jabez was that he was more honorable than all of his brethren. But not only do we see the great character of Jabez, but we see the combat of Jabez as well. For he was the one that was born into sorrow, for that's what his name meant. But Jabez had a secret weapon. He could call on the name of the God of Israel. A secret weapon is this, that you can fight any giant that stands in your way, any lie that stands at your door, any obstacle that stands in your way. Be honest with it, but call on the God of heaven. When you call on the God of heaven, anything is possible. Walls of Jericho come down like they did this morning. When you call on God, obstacles are able, we're able to jump over top of them, because we can call on the God of heaven. Somebody shout amen.
Jabez
called on the God of Israel. He called on the God of Israel. I was preaching up in Clarksville, Ohio some time ago, and I had my friend Brother Charles with me. He's 80 years old now, and he gave his testimony up there one night. He come back from the Navy, and Brother Charles has always been a big man and a pretty strong guy as well. When he had come back from the Navy, he was hard on liquor. He was always an alcoholic. He was 23 years old, would take his car 100 miles an hour down the road in a drunken condition and begging God to go ahead and kill him. You know what his problem was? He wasn't honest enough with himself, and he didn't have enough faith to believe that God could help him. So his mother, that was a praying saint and a praying lady, and a woman that had faith for her son to get saved, she thought in her mind at one time, he was so far out in the world and so far gone that he would never come to grips with reality and ever be sober before his 30th birthday. Boy, that's a sad shape to be in. You can't even trust your own children at your own house by themselves, because of the medicine cabinets that they get into, because of the drugs they mix together. You can't, that's a horrible shape to be in, that you can't even trust your own children in your own house, because they'll steal every dime that you've got, because they'll take every one of your possessions and go pawn it off for another fix of drugs. Charles's mother began to call on the God of Israel. One night while he was out drinking, something got inside of him that hadn't been there and touched him and talked to him in a long time. He came to church that night and called on the God of Israel. And 50 plus years later, he's still calling on the God that can help. I tell you what to do when you got sorrows and you got trouble like Jabez did, is you call on God for help. Ain't the preacher nor the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Ain't the preacher nor the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know what happened about 12:30 this afternoon while we was here having meeting? Somebody come down here and found it ain't the preacher, it ain't the deacon, it ain't everybody else, but it's me that's standing in the need of prayer, Brother Gene. I tell you what you found. You didn't find sorrow here anymore, but he found the joy of the Holy Ghost. He found power with God. Jabez called on the God of Israel because he got honest with himself. It ain't their problem. It's not my mama's problem. This is my problem. This is the allotment that God has put me in. This is the place where God has set me at. And I realize that it's a bunch of sorrowful problems. But I'll tell you what I'm going to make out of sorrowful things. I'm going to call on the God of Israel until God hears my prayer. I'm going to keep calling on God until God turns this thing around. I'm going to keep calling on God. I'm going to be honest with myself. I ain't going to tell a bunch of lies on everybody else. I'm going to come to grips with reality and get honest. When you get honest with yourself, you can be just like Jabez. Once he got honest with God, God gave him revival. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I ain't got time to get into all this tonight. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. You know what was happening around here this afternoon? Not even this morning, but just this afternoon. God was speaking to Bible holiness. I want to enlarge the coast again. Pick up those tent stakes where they're at. God is about ready to enlarge our coast again. The times of refreshing are coming down from the presence of the Lord. And God is granting us our prayers. Lift your hands all over the house. Give God a shout of praise. Thank God. Oh, that thou wouldest enlarge my coast, and thou wouldest be with thine hand, be with me. You know what was also happening around here earlier today? And I think God wants to do it again this evening, is the hand of God. The hand of God just rested upon this place this afternoon. And God says, the drought is over with. Starving to death is over with. Dying right on the vine is over with. Dying right in the presence of God is over with. Thirsting for water is over with. For they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. The drought's about over. The drought's about over. The drought's about over. The times of refreshing shall come. The times of refreshing shall come. You know what? I believe the Lord told me in prayer this afternoon. I was praying about this meeting, and you can see why. I didn't realize really what all this scripture entailed until I got to really reading about it this afternoon. But as I was praying this evening, it seemed like the Lord let me listen into what heaven wanted to do for this service tonight. And it was the sound of raindrops coming down. It was the sound of rain that is coming down. Look up into the sky. What do you see up there, Jabez? I see all around me right here is a bunch of sorrow. Look up into the sky. What do you see up there, Elijah? All I see is a cloud about the size of a man's hand. But the Lord is about ready to pour some water down on us again. He said in Hosea, I'll come down like the rain. I'll pour water upon him that's thirsty in Isaiah, and floods upon a dry ground. And let God bless us indeed again. Let me close with it. I'm thinking of John Wesley. Wesley was taken in a vision one night. He was taken in a vision into heaven one evening. An angel began to escort him around through heaven. Showed him all the beautiful sights and all the beautiful things that were there in heaven. He took him into a room where there was packages. Large packages, small packages, wide ones, narrow ones. And Wesley asked that angel a question. He asked him a question. What do these packages represent? What do these packages mean? And the angel said, those right there are answers to prayers never yet been prayed. I tell you what God is one to do for this church again. He's one to answer some prayers that's never yet been prayed.
Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and thou wouldest enlarge my coast, and that thine hand may be with me, and thou that mayest keep me from evil. And God granted him that request. The God we serve is a prayer answering God. What's your need tonight? What's your ailment tonight? What are you struggling with tonight? What do you need God to do tonight? Pray to God and let God answer you. God granted in this service tonight. God, could we stand all over the house? Let's lift our hands right now. I feel like God is wanting to pour water upon us again. He's wanting to give us a shower from heaven right now. Praise Him, church. What would you have the Lord to do? Be honest with God.
Go ahead, church. Go ahead. Go ahead. Take a few minutes right now. Take a few minutes right now.